Welcome to K-Squid and to Exploring Santa Cruz. My name is Jean Kratzer. I'm your host for today. My guest is Lisa Owens-Vianney. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Lisa is a co-founder and also the director of an organization called RATS. Lisa, why did you name your organization RATS?
Well, I founded the organization after I found Cooper's Hawks literally bleeding to death on the street in my then neighborhood in Berkeley. And so I started realizing that we were poisoning the very best solution to one of our problems, you know, pests like rats. Raptors eat a lot of rats. And I just started thinking, well, really, these birds of prey and other animals that are predatory are our very best non-toxic solution to the problem of pests. And we need to let them do their job. So hence the name Raptors Are the Solution and the acronym RATS.
What do you mean when you say that they're being poisoned?
Rat poison, which is used ubiquitously, is taking a huge toll on birds of prey and other wildlife. So what happens is when people put out rat poison to control rodents, it works its way right up the food chain. When a raptor eats a poisoned rat, that contributes to a toxic load in the raptor's body and ends up ultimately causing the raptor to become sick and or to bleed to death, which is how most of these rat poisons work. They're called anticoagulants and they cause rats to bleed to death. And once you get a certain level of that kind of poison in the body of an owl or a hawk, it's also going to take out that animal.
So the purpose of your organization is to say, don't use rat poisoning, use raptors?
Well, the purpose is really to create awareness of the problem, number one. A lot of people aren't aware when they use these products that they make their way up the food chain. So that's our number one goal, just to get people to stop and think, if I put this out there and I'm poisoning rodents, those same animals are going to be preyed upon by other animals that are then going to become poisoned. So number one, we wanted to call attention to that problem. And then number two, we're not saying use raptors, we're saying let raptors do their job. So let's not poison them and let's let them do this natural pest control that we so desperately need. One red-shouldered hawk can eat 30 rodents in a month. To poison that animal and cause it to bleed to death, there you go, you've just lost that ability to take out those 30 rodents per month. So we're saying to people, let's be aware of what we're doing, the poison that we're causing to the ecosystem, and let these animals live poison-free so they can help us.
Different categories of people use poisons. There's consumers, people that live in houses or apartments and hate rats. There's the companies that do pest control.
Right.
There's businesses like shopping centers, warehouses, restaurants that can't tolerate having rodents. And there's agriculture. They may all be looking for different kinds of solutions. So maybe you could talk about these different categories and if they're not to use poisons, what should they be doing?
Great. Thank you for pointing out those different potential users of poisons. I'd like to refer people to our webpage. It's called raptorsarethesolution.org. We have a page on our webpage called Got Rats. On that page, we have various alternative solutions about how to control rodents. One of the first things is to actually figure out why you have a rat problem. If you're a homeowner or apartment building owner and rats are getting into your building, you have to figure out how and why they're getting in there and then take action to prevent them from getting in. Rats can get in tiny openings the size of a dime or a quarter even, and you basically need to find out where and how they're getting in and then take exclusion measures to prevent them from continuing to get in. And by exclusion, I mean something as simple as putting hardware cloth in and sealing up any openings that are there. We also have a tip sheet on our website that shows the other ways that rats get into homes. And those include having tree branches that are touching your house. I once had a rat get in my house through a tiny little exhaust vent on the top of my house. It was about the size of a quarter opening, and the rat somehow got in that and slipped down into the wall. What I had to do is set a trap under the house because the rat eventually crawled down through the wall under the house and caught the rat in the trap that way. We recommend setting the old-fashioned snap traps. If you put poison out, you're going to have a rat slowly dying in your wall, creating a huge stink and causing a fly infestation. So using a trap is preferable to using poison. We also have other suggestions. For instance, dry ice is very effective in killing rats humanely. And that can be used once their burrows are found. You can put the dry ice down in the burrow and essentially cause the rats to go to sleep. You put it in there and then seal up the opening so that the rats can't get back out. So that's a solution if you've got a problem in your garden or something like that. And on our website, we have a whole list of other products that are deterrents. There are things that you can spray around your home or apply to your home that actually have scents in them that deter rodents. There's now a product that acts like a fertility reduction for rodents. It's called ContraPest. And then there are some other traps that use CO2. There are many, many non-toxic products that are very effective that can be used. And even something as simple as cayenne pepper, when you find the rat's trails, sprinkling cayenne pepper on it. The rats hate cayenne pepper. They get it on their paws, they lick it, and it's a very unpleasant experience for them. So there's plenty of things that you can do without resorting to poison. And the other comment about poisons is that if you think about it, when you're putting out a bait, you're actually baiting rodents in. So many times we've found that when people just stop putting out poison, the rodents stop coming to the area. It's kind of a vicious cycle where these poison companies come in, put out bait, attract rodents in, and then you've got this rodent problem that you're perpetuating, and these companies are charging their customers to come out every month and continuing to put out poison. So it's a very lucrative, self-perpetuating cycle, and we're trying to break that.
You mentioned gardens. What about gophers?
Well, gophers are a whole other thing. Where I live right now, I've got a gopher issue, but I also have a pair of red-shouldered hawks that are patrolling the area, and I've actually seen them come down and get the gophers. So I leave well enough alone, and they're kind of keeping the population under control. Definitely do not encourage the use of poison, and we encourage letting people let the natural predators keep the gophers under control.
You're suggesting that the raptors will do the job if we enable them and don't poison them. How would we attract them? Not everybody has hawks and barn owls.
Actually, we do have more hawks and owls than people realize, and sometimes people don't even know they're there. When I had first moved to Berkeley, I had no idea that there was a thriving population of barn owls. And the only reason I discovered it is because I would go out walking at night and I started hearing the young barn owls hissing and begging to be fed for the parents. And I didn't even know what it was at first. And then I realized after talking to some birder friends, it was baby barn owls that the parents were raising in some palm trees. And so I then sort of surveyed where these barn owls might live. And I found that there were dozens of them. And if you don't go out walking at night and look up and look for owls or listen to them, you might not realize there are owls in your area. There are a lot of urban raptors right now. They've made cities their homes because in some cases they don't have any choice. And so in terms of attracting them, number one, stop using poison. And then number two, you can put up things like barn owl boxes or raptor perches. There's no guarantee that an owl or hawk is going to come in, but sometimes they might. The other thing to do is to remove invasive ivy and things like that that are harboring rodents. That's another thing that can help kind of reduce your population and also give raptors more of a chance to see the rodents that are there. But they're very good at finding rodents, even if they're hiding.
So you have raptors in Berkeley?
Oh, yes. There's lots of barn owls. There's Cooper's hawks. There's red-tailed hawks. There's red-shouldered hawks. Berkeley has peregrine falcons on the Campanile on the UC Berkeley campus. There are peregrine falcons that live on various bridges around the Bay Area. Peregrines are not so much rat eaters. They mostly go after birds and pigeons and things like that, but they will eat rats, and we have photos to prove it. All of these birds of prey are at risk, not just the ones that you might think of more commonly.
What would you recommend for businesses like restaurants and others?
We just recently had a bill passed in the state legislature. It's called AB 1788. It was signed by the governor at the end of September that restricts the use of something called second generation anticoagulant, which are also known as the one feeding kills poisons. They're highly, highly toxic. In California, with a few exceptions, pest control companies will no longer be able to use those products. However, there are exceptions for medical facilities, breweries. Unfortunately, agriculture was exempted. So right now, you're a restaurant and you have a problem, you are still actually able to use those poisons. But again, we don't think that that is at all the right solution. And for something like a restaurant, exclusion, sanitation, all of the common sense measures need to be exhausted first. We often find that with restaurants, there'll be a dumpster in the alley behind the restaurant that is not closed. The dumpster lid is left open. There's trash overflowing. And then there's a poison bait box right next to it. So that really doesn't make sense. Dumpsters need to be closed and even locked. Some cities have actually started locking the lids of their dumpsters and reducing their trash and rat problems that way. So usually there's a reason why there are rats, and often it comes down to poor sanitation and overflowing garbage. There's so many steps that can be taken before any kind of chemical product needs to be used. And that's what we urge everyone to do, whether you're a restaurant or an apartment building manager or even a homeowner.
If they call in a pest control company, are they going to get this kind of advice?
Some companies take more of a holistic approach and recommending taking every step possible before they use a lethal product. There are definitely more and more pest control companies take that approach. We have a list of pest control companies on our website that uses that approach. Of course, there are still plenty that just want to pull out the poison and install an easy solution that makes a lot of money for them with very little effort. And those are the kinds of companies that we absolutely do not recommend. They're baiting rodents in, and they're actually increasing the rodent population.
The poisons are killing the raptors. I imagine they're killing other wildlife as well. And also, what about people's cats and dogs?
We've had numerous reports of dogs and cats being poisoned by eating poisoned rodents. So that is definitely a problem. Other animals that can be poisoned include anything that will eat a rodent. So foxes eat a lot of rodents, bobcats, mountain lions, even skunks will eat rats and mice. And skunks are actually very beneficial pest controllers. So anything that will eat a rodent is at risk of being poisoned. And we've also had reports of songbirds being poisoned because sometimes the rats go into the bait boxes, drag out the bait, and then things like songbirds have eaten these poisoned baits. So it really is a whole food web problem.
You have a program called Owl Wise Leaders. What's that all about?
We've been able to convince a lot of businesses, some vineyard managers, apartment building owners, homeowners associations to switch from poison to something more sustainable. And as part of that program, we give them an award called the Owl Wise Leader Award. And sometimes that award includes actually awarding them with an owl box or several owl boxes. It's basically to call attention to the fact that here are some great examples of organizations and businesses and people that have been able to make the switch. We want to hold them up as examples.
What about agriculture?
Agriculture is a big problem. They do use a lot of poison. There are some organic farmers, of course, that do not. In terms of our legislation, we unfortunately were forced to exclude them from our bill just due to political pressure and the fact that big ag is so powerful in California. That doesn't mean we are giving up on trying to educate more of those people.
Can rat poison that's used in agriculture get into the human food chain?
That is a good question. There are some studies that show it has gotten into some chicken feed. It's a good question. It's disturbing. It's something we really don't know enough about.
If people listen to this program and want to have a barn owl family, what should we do?
I would first just observe, probably go out at night or in the early evening and just see if you hear or see any owls. You might have great horned owls, which in some ways sort of the mortal enemy of barn owls. So the goal shouldn't necessarily be to attract barn owls. You may have other owls that are kind of there on the job already. But if you don't have great horns, then trying to put up an owl box is something that you could consider. We have owl box plans that people can make their own box with that I'm happy to share with people. The first thing is no poison. The second thing is reducing things like ivy and other things in your yard that are attracting rodents. And then just kind of looking around, making yourself aware of what owls you may already have. You can try the box. Sometimes they don't need a box. They love nesting in palm trees. So just being aware of what's there and stopping the poison first and foremost.
I was actually surprised to hear you say that barn owls would nest in palm trees.
Palm trees kind of have that soft, almost like chewy bark under the fronds, and they go in there and they excavate cavities. They actually really love nesting in those trees. So if you've got one, don't chop it down. You might have the good fortune to have an owl family in there.
I had heard that barn owls are the most voracious predators of rodents on the planet. Is that a true fact?
They are huge rodent consumers. Most owls will also eat other things, like an occasional bird or a snake or a lizard. Barn owls are almost exclusively rodent predators. So I think that's where that reputation comes from. One family of barn owls can eat up to 3,000 rodents in one breeding season alone. That's a lot of rodents. So if we just let them do their job, they're going to really be able to help us with any kind of rodent issue that we have. But there are plenty of other owls that are also great rodent predators. Great horns are incredible rodent eaters. There are red-tailed hawks, red-shouldered hawks. Of course, those are not owls, but they're also excellent rodent controllers.
If you have hawks, would there be competition between the owls and the hawks, or would they coexist?
They coexist. Generally, the hawks are diurnal or out working in the day, and the owls are kind of on the job at night. Occasionally, there are interactions, but it's nothing to really worry about in terms of putting up a barn owl box.
Is there anything else that you would like people to be aware of?
It just comes down to we have a choice to make, and we can choose to either send these poisons out through our entire food web, like we once did with DDT, or we can make the choice to live more sustainably and let these incredible, beautiful animals help us do what they do in the ecosystem.
We really appreciate all the information you've given us.
Thank you so much, Jean, for the time. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. My second guest today is Mark Schleicher. Mark is working with the Barn Owl Nest Box Program. Mark, I want to first welcome you to Exploring Santa Cruz on KSQD Radio, K-Squid Radio.
Thank you very much, Jean.
Mark, can you tell us what this Barn Owl Nest Box Program is all about?
Well, yes. I started volunteering for Santa Cruz County Native Animal Rescue, and I started researching owls because I'm fascinated by owls. And I learned how well the barn owl control rodents in agricultural settings and in urban settings. I approached the director of Native Animal Rescue and asked her, we're trying to ban poisons. These owls eat so many rodents. It's amazing. So why don't we offer barn owl nest boxes through Native Animal Rescue as a fundraiser? And that's where the whole thing got started.
When did it start?
It started 18 months ago, and the Barn Owl Box program took off.
Do you make the boxes?
Now, Gene, I made the first 100 boxes. To date, we've installed 240 boxes over 18 months, which is a lot, and I've installed every one of them. But I made the first 100, and it just got to be too much for me to make them and deploy them. So a woodshop teacher from two high schools in Santa Cruz approached us and said, would you be interested in us making your boxes? And we said, yes. And then COVID came along. And so the students were actually making our nest boxes in woodshop until COVID came. And now the instructor makes all the boxes for us.
Why barn owls and not other owls?
Well, barn owls are cavity nesters, which means they will not nest unless they have a safe and dry place to raise their chicks. Now, Mother Nature does not provide a lot of these spaces, like holes in dead trees, and other animals are competing for these spots. So by building a barn owl nest box and deploying it, you're actually giving them exactly what they're looking for to raise their chicks in a safe and dry environment. And that's what the box provides.
Who are the people that have asked for these boxes? Is it farmers, individual householders? Who is asking for them?
You name it. A lot of the boxes end up on properties that are about an acre or more, but we have several boxes in urban environments that actually have owls in them. Barn owls have acclimated to live next to humans. They've lost a lot of their habitat, so they're just changing gears and finding other places to nest.
Can you put up a barn owl box anywhere at all, or does there have to be certain conditions?
There's definitely some conditions, but a lot of those conditions are variable depending on where you are in the state of California. Barn owls are so elusive and so mysterious that even the folks that have studied them in California, and that's only been in the Central Valley and Napa County and a little bit in Ventura County, are the only places where they've ever studied barn owls. So part of this deal was to study barn owls on the Central Coast and find out what works here.
What have they discovered?
We're discovering things every day that are not in the literature anywhere. Our weather is so stable here on the Central Coast compared to other places like in the Central Valley or Napa. And because of that, barn owls actually will have two and sometimes three clutches of chicks in one season.
What are the barn owls doing for the people who put up the boxes aside from being cute?
Barn owls in a nest box, a male, a female, and they average six chicks per clutch, will eat 2,500 rodents per year.
Wow.
That's a lot of rodents. And right now we find rat poison in mountain lions, bobcats, coyotes. It's all the way up the food chain. People are using this rat poison that is basically killing all of our native wildlife. And so the barn owl nest box was a way to give people an offset. They can still control rodents without using poisons by using barn owls. What it is going back to a partnership with the natural world. We're actually recruiting barn owls as our friends to control rodents for us. And in turn, we provide them with a safe and dry environment to raise their chicks.
If somebody puts up a barn owl box, but their neighbor down the street is still unenlightened and is using rat poison, what happens then?
We've developed some partnerships with other organizations, nonprofits, one of them being the RATS, which stands for Raptors Are the Solution. And they provide all the literature that we can then disseminate to all the neighbors to let them know that so-and-so neighbor has just deployed a nest box. And this is the benefit, because the owls will hunt on their neighbor's property too. I'd say 90% of the time they get it and they stop using any poisons that they were using.
Have you ever put cameras into any of the boxes?
Yes, and it's fascinating. A couple of years ago, I noticed that the Port of Stockton website, until they installed barn owl boxes and put video in them and then put it on their website, number of hits to their website went from 400 a month to 40,000 just by installing video in their barn owl boxes. People are fascinated to watch them raise their chicks and the mating and courtship. It's amazing.
Have you put up any boxes in places like the UCSC?
Yeah, UCSC has 9 barn owl nest boxes. They've asked me to monitor the boxes. So I'm now volunteering for UCSC and taking care of their program. And the city parks, county parks, and California state parks have all looked at barn owl nest boxes. And we have placed them on the city and county parks on the Central Coast in 9 locations. We've donated these boxes. And now they're actually starting to order them at some of their other parks once they found that, hey, this really works.
There is a barn owl. Is there competition between the barn owls and other owls? Would the barn owls be attacked by other kinds of owls or other raptors?
Yes. Barn owls are voracious rodent hunters. That's all they eat are rodents, which is why they're a good partner for us. But barn owls are food for a number of other predators, including red-tailed hawks, red-shouldered hawks, but mainly great horned owls. Great horned owl will kill a barn owl because great horned owls love rats and they know the barn owls eat nothing but rodents. So they're competing for food. But this is only when food is scarce. When the great horned owl knows that food is scarce and they see a barn owl, the first thing they'll do is try to kill it. But when food is plentiful, which is now, everyone knows we have a rodent problem big time, that all goes away. There's a spot called Pinto Lake County Park where I film great horned owls all the time. And I've actually seen a great horned owls and barn owls roosting in the same tree and they completely ignore each other. And all the chicks are hugely fat and everyone's got food. You know, there's no conflict whatsoever.
If somebody wants to order a barn owl box, How do they get in touch with you?
Simply visit the Native Animal Rescue of Santa Cruz County website. Info on the barn owl boxes are there. I'm a volunteer and I only cover Santa Cruz County. So if you're in Santa Cruz County, you're more than happy to help you out and put a nest box on your property to the benefit of Native Animal Rescue, because it's a fundraiser for them.
Once the box is up, how long does it take before a barn owl moves in?
That is something we're studying now in the Central Coast, but in the Central Valley and Napa and Ventura counties, by the third season that a box is up, 75% of the time it is occupied. In the first season, it's probably close to 50%. Second season adds 10%. By the third season, 75% of the boxes have been occupied. And if not, we recommend you move to another location. And another benefit is, once you put up your nest box, you really don't have to clean it or even think about it until the box has been occupied for two seasons.
And the boxes go up on tall poles or attached to houses? How does that work?
Yeah, they go on a post. I'll dig a hole and cement in a 4x4 post with 6 feet of it sticking up above ground. And then another post is attached to the box and then pivoted on the first post. When it's all said and done, the box is 12 feet in the air. And when it's time to clean it, you just remove one of the bolts and the box pivots back down. The door opens, stuff comes out, shut the door and put it back up, and that's it. Other places, I just attach them to existing fences, retaining walls. I put them on top of outbuildings like garages and shops away from the house. You're looking for a spot that's as quiet as possible with the least amount of human interaction. They've learned to acclimate with humans, but the quieter, the better.
And they are called barn owls, so presumably they used to nest inside barns.
Yes, barns and churches and any abandoned building, basically, or horse stables, you name it. You go into pretty much any decent-sized barn or horse stable that doesn't have a freeway next to it, and good chance you're going to find some evidence that barn owls have been there.
This sounds so fantastic. Are there no downsides to having a barn owl live with you?
Well, if your box is occupied and you need to have it cleaned, you must remember that there is a hantavirus in the pellets that the barn owls regurgitate and leave in the box they use for bedding. And so when the box is cleaned, long gloves and a respirator needs to be worn. I had hantavirus in 2016, one of only three people in the state of California that year.
Oh my gosh.
It's rare, but it's really something you'd never want to have.
Right.
So that's a drawback. But three people in the entire state. It's not something that happens very often, but you have to be prepared if you're going to clean a nest box to wear a mask and gloves.
Is there anything else that I haven't thought of that we should really ask about?
I'm a nature photographer and I've been filming owls for 10 years. I can go out and find a great horned owl pretty much at will. But in 10 years, I have two photos of barn owls in the wild. I absolutely have no idea what they do when they're not in the nest box during the nesting season. They are mysterious and elusive. I know they're everywhere. I hear them every night, but they have a strategy for hiding that works very well. They've had to be that way because a great horned owl has no predators. They will hoo-hoo all night long. They don't care. Nothing's going to come and kill them. But the barn owls, and there's several other predators that are hunting them all the time. So they've had to develop some strategies to survive, and they've done very well.
Mark, thank you so very much for all this information. It's fascinating.
A pleasure, Gina. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.